I think, Kelly, I'm ready for the... We'll see. I don't know that I've ever spent so much time concerned about electronics, but it is what it is. Praise the Lord. Hey, look at that. Awesome. So last week we started a new series about a story to tell, and we talked about the journey that each and every one of us are on, that God really has accomplished all that is going to be accomplished as far as defeating the enemy. In Revelation, it tells us that there's going to be one final great battle where Satan is thrown into the pit and defeated once and for all. But the reality is that the work of the enemy, as far as him being able to have a hold on us in our life that is with Christ, was over. That once we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have now given ourselves to him, and he is our Redeemer. And we are actually functioning and living right now in the third act of an amazing saga of life that Christ said on the cross, it is finished. And what happens now is that defeated foe is trying to take as many with him as possible. He is on a sinking ship, and he is going down, and he wants to take as many of the image bearers of God with him as possible. You see, every time Satan looks on the earth, he sees something that just annoys him to pieces. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. And so every time Satan looks on the face of the earth, he sees 6 billion image bearers of God. He's reminded 6 billion times that the creator of the universe defeated him once and for all. What an annoying life that must be. What a terrible situation that must be. To have no relief whatsoever from the impending final defeat that is about to take place. And what happens is that our own lives function on this side of the cross. And we are now remembering the birth of Christ, watch this, on this side of death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes people, and I respect this, I'm not downplaying anything at all, but sometimes people, when we're in a particular season on the calendar, they only like to function like as if for a moment on the 365-day calendar that day is, you know, Jesus is a baby. And so Jesus is a baby in December, like for the whole month or something, I don't know. But I don't personally function that way. I celebrate these times that circulate in the Christian calendar, recognizing that Jesus Christ is not a baby. Jesus is not wrapped in swaddling clothes right now. His mother is not pregnant right now. Jesus has conquered, Jesus has defeated, and we are now remembering this event of Jesus Christ on this side. We have the benefit of celebrating the birth of Jesus, knowing what he has done for us. That's what brings significance to the birth of Christ. Because watch this, if the events of the cross had not turned out the way that they did, the birth of Christ would have had no significance at all. Let me say that one more time in case you're a pensive person that needs to process information. If the things had not taken place on the cross, death, burial, resurrection, the birth would have had no value at all, because it meant that he would not have been who the prophet said was coming. Does that make sense? So the cross is what makes December 25th, also one of the conversations, somebody was driving by, they said, you know, Jesus wasn't born in December. I was like, you know, I know that. You know, somebody said, I don't think Jesus was born at zero. Okay. Zero BC AD, whatever that would be. I said, yeah, actually, I agree with you. I think he was born in four. And they were like, four what? I said, I don't know, just pick one. So we've had some fun. We've had some fun. But the reality is that what we are celebrating and commemorating only has value because of the facts that we do know of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at some things in that perspective, it brings context to all of the things that were being prophesied about in the Old Testament. Like, for example, a scripture that we looked at last week. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Everybody say the woman. And between you and your offspring, and say her offspring. He, singular, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get an injury, I would rather it not be my head. And even if it's a slight injury, when my children were little, babies, I would hold them and they would just, you know, get so excited. And I don't know if I'll identify which one did this or not, but we had a pincher. And I don't know if you had a pincher or if any of your babies were pinchers, but we had a pincher. And sometimes this pincher would grab you by your cheek and just like hang on. And when they would hang on, blood would be drawn. And it would always happen on a Saturday night. Always. And I would show up to church and I'd have a scratch here. Or the perfect one is the one that would go down the bridge of your nose, right? And I would show up and they would go, what happened to you? It's like, really, it was nothing. My baby just grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't let go, right? So any kind of injury, any kind of thing that would happen, if my baby like scratched my ankle, no big deal, no worries. Have you twisted an ankle? We can get through it, right? We can make it work. We can deal with it. But head injuries, big deal. Problem with head injuries. Watch this. He is going to do what? He is going to bruise your head, and you are going to do something that's rather insignificant. And what's interesting is the insignificant thing was, is they put him to, this is about Jesus Christ, they put him to death. Isn't it interesting that the significance to us is the end of someone's life? It's over, but to Jesus and in God's timeline, all you're going to do is you're going to kill him, and that's not going to be a problem for us at all. We're going to fill him, the Spirit of God is going to raise him, and if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. No big deal. But what's going to happen is there's going to be some things that are going to take place within us that are going to change the way that we think and we function. We are literally going to have to readjust what happens. I will put enmity between you and the woman. And between you and your offspring and her offspring. He is going to bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I wonder in that context, if you're able to look at it and to say, God, I need to be able to gain perspective of the change that needs to happen in my life so that I can properly view who you are. You have done something amazing. You have changed the laws that existed. That used to be, if I died, I had no access to God. And now when I die, if I have claimed you as the Messiah, if I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection, I am now one with the Father, not through anything that I have done, but through what you have accomplished in me. Look at what it says in Isaiah. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Look again at what it says real closely here. Watch this. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They have rejoiced before you as with joy at the end of the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. There's a lot of happiness in this verse. There's a lot of joy going on here. The realization is that life in Christ brings a level of joy and reflection that even though I need to take a shift from last week, I need to be able to say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a transformation within my life that is going to take me from this worldly understanding and realize that what I am dealing with now is that God wants to take the things that preoccupy my life and bring me down and bring depression into me and bring a foul spirit within me. God wants to replace that with joy. And that's actually a number of the things that take place here in Scripture. Because the biggest question here in our lives right now is, can there be peace? Is it possible for there to be peace within my life? One of the names that's attributed to Jesus Christ is that he is going to be the one who brings peace. And as I look at some of the scriptures that we're going to take a few moments this morning and look at, is that the overarching thing that's taking place is that there is no hope, and then there's tons of hope. There is, it's impossible, and now it is so possible, it's almost too easy. We almost think, well, what's the big secret here? That seems too simple. That seems too easy. And we're programmed ahead of time to think that way. We're like, okay, if this is so easy, what's the catch? Right? If it's only $19.95, when am I really going to pay the big bucks? And that's what happens to us, is we're programmed to think, okay, it can't possibly be that simple. But there is an answer to being able to say, God, I need to be able to go from this place of I am recognizing I am not capable and not able on my own, to now what I want to do is I want to be able to function the way Scripture says that I'm supposed to. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, there's a couple of things that really mark that decision. And one of them is that even in times of struggle and trial, there is peace. There has been thousands of wars since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At one point, around the world, big or small, there were multiple tens of thousands of wars that were going on. In 2008, there was a global survey done of unrest. And do you know there's 32,000 types of warring and infractions going on around the globe in 2008? 32,000. That's a lot of pain and struggle and problems and difficulty. Very powerfully to look at it and say, well, God, where is the peace? Where is it? Wait a second. If you were going to come and bring the peace, where is the peace? And probably one of the most difficult things for humans to do, watch this, is get along. It's really hard for human beings to get along. We find that out sometimes, even like on the honeymoon. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. I asked you first. We didn't have a conversation like that on our honeymoon. That didn't happen. I think it was the week after. But that's what happens, is that even in what would be considered the most ideal circumstance, it's difficult for us to find what it means to be at peace. Can there be peace? And what happens this time of year? What happens in December? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. What is almost every Christmas song about? Christmas songs are about this peace. Christmas songs are about the thing that, oh, it's amazing. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Snowmen are singing, birds are flying, I mean, it's amazing. Silver bells are ringing. People are shopping in the songs, and there's no problem in the songs when they're shopping. It's a wonderful situation. Let's go shopping. That sounds like fun. But you get us in a situation where we have to be able to get along, and pretty soon there's going to be conflict. And we can't understand peace until we understand why there's conflict. We can't arrive at peace until we understand why there's conflict. Because a lot of times, I don't know if you think this way sometimes, but really, if I want to solve a problem, what I have to do is I have to dig a little bit and I have to get to the root of the situation. We have to find out what are we really upset about? Because sometimes we can get upset about some things that we see visibly that are out and around us, but we don't ever really dig down deep enough and get to the root of the problem. And the root is what's causing the issue, not this thing that's up here that can be a distraction. And so if I really want to understand how to gain peace, I need to understand why there's conflict. And I just shared with you for a moment of why conflict exists. Is because the enemy can't stand the very sight of you. And he can't stand the fact that all we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and follow after him and follow the commandments that he gave and follow the plan that he has for us to be able to function in a way that would bring peace, and following after him and serving him and being more like Christ, transforming the way that we think. But if he can disrupt that whole formula, and he can bring conflict, he's accomplishing something. He is breaking down unity. But something very special is the reality of what happens. Watch this. It says this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, one of the things that were being said by the angels to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now that second part, with whom he is pleased, is not really, doesn't always appear in every Christmas song. What we hear in the Christmas song is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. But the reality is that, am I in a relationship with Christ where I am honoring him, where I am putting him first in my own life? Am I actually in a place where Christ can be pleased with me? You see, what happens is that we recognize who Jesus is, we recognize what he has done, so therefore my response to him needs to be one, God, I want to be pleasing, I want to honor the Son of God. And if I honor the Son of God, then one of the fruits of that is peace in my life. It's not simply because Jesus came, therefore peace will exist. There is still a requirement on my part of what I have to do in order for peace to rule and reign in my own life. Look again at how James says this in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And in verse 2 he says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And here's the big one. You do not have because you do not ask. You see, one of the things that we do in a situation of seeking peace is a knee-jerk reaction is to be able to find a way to get our peace fulfilled through someone else other than God. Well, if I just marry the right person, I will be at peace. If I just have the right job, I'll be at peace. If my kids just act a particular way, I'll be at peace. If I can just sit down and hold my grandchildren, I'll be at peace. And what we do is we go around and we're looking for peace and we're looking for answers to our situation from all kinds of different locations instead of the one who is peace. peace. You see, we have to remember who we're dealing with. And something that's very easy for these next couple of weeks is to forget that who we're dealing with is we are dealing with the creator of the universe who put on flesh and was born in a stable, but he didn't stay there. He grew up. He became a boy who became a man who was revealed to us through the amazing prophecies of the Old Testament. It was revealed to us that he is the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a baby in a manger. We're dealing with right now on this side, death, burial, and resurrection. What makes the birth so significant is because of what happened on the cross. That's what makes it so significant. So what brings these things in is that I am now turning to others. I'm looking to my wife and I'm saying, I need a little peace in my life. I need a little, come on, you provide for me the peace that you need. Or we look to our children or we look to our job. Come on, I've worked so hard to get this job and to get this place and to get this promotion. Why can't I find peace? Because guess what? There's only one place you can find peace. And that's by having Jesus Christ be the king of your life. If you're struggling with peace, remember who you're talking to. Remember who you're dealing with. The creator of the universe, who right now is ready and poised to come and claim his bride that belongs to him. That is who is born in that manger. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7 say, do not be anxious about anything. We're comfortable with that. We're not supposed to have anxiety. But watch this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to your boss, who will eventually give you the raise that you need. Right? Or let your spouse know what they need to do to bring peace within your house if you would just cut it out. I love you. If you would just shape up and do what your mom and dad are telling you. Right? If I am going to actually be released from the anxieties and the pressures of life, I don't have that peace because maybe I haven't asked the one who can actually offer the peace. If I don't have that place, if there's turmoil, do you know that in that struggle and in that turmoil, you can still find peace in that moment? It says, let your request be made known to God. Let that request come before God. Don't be anxious. We can get that. We cling on. Oh, God, you don't want me to be anxious about anything. But watch this. I need your peace. I need your life. I need your strength. And I can't find it from anywhere else. Then watch what happens when we pray that. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, if we can just simply find perspective of who it is that we are dealing with, do you understand that we have just been given an avenue to approach the creator of the universe and ask him to bring peace into our lives? The same God who created everything sent his son here to on earth so that we would be able to simply do this. Instead of trying to figure out how we can follow the law, and we have to do these 10 things, and I can't even get past the first one, because God, sometimes I know for a fact you're not first in my life. I can't even get past the first one. You shall have one God. There should be no other gods. You should put nobody else before me, and I can't even make it past that. And he said, watch. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. He's going to come. It's going to be glorious. There's going to be an amazing announcement. It's going to be amazing. He's going to come and he's going to minister. He's going to show what my true heart is towards the people that I created. And he's going to be able to usher in peace. Why? Because my conflict is not with you. My conflict, actually, as it turns out, is within myself. Being able to set pride aside and say, God, I need you in me. I don't want to be the one that it's all about. I want you to be the one that it's all about. Grace, if you could come up here in a few moments. I want to be able to say, God, this is the moment at which I am going to keep the perspective of who you are in my own life. That not only is the question, can there be peace? Here's the thing. Watch this. Will I allow peace to come in the way that God designed it to come? God designed peace to come into my life through Jesus Christ. That's how he designed it. And I would ask you this morning to just take a moment and be able to reflect on that and to say, God, if there is this overarching story that's going to take place within me, I need to be able to have one thing resolved within me. This one thing is God, am I going to truly be able to keep my focus on you this morning? If you could just bow your heads with me for a moment and just be reflective. Just allow the Holy Spirit to let that thought resonate within you this morning.
of everlasting praise, the only God who wept his grace. And oh my soul, remember who you're talking to, the only one who death bows to. That's the God who walks with.
Father, we just come before you recognizing that it is your grace that brought Jesus to this earth. It is your desire to be in relationship with us. Let us not forget. Let us remember exactly who it is that we're talking to, that we're relating to. The word tells us to pray in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, as we are entering into this season, it's wonderful to remember the coming of Jesus Christ. But, Father, let us remain fully aware that the significance of this birth is found in the significance of the resurrection. We thank you for your life and your peace in our lives together. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Isn't God